Division received $496,400. That was actually appropriated from the earnings reserve of the International Trade and Business Endowment. In the endowment's FY01 year-end audit, there was a total earnings reserve reported of $697,000, clearly adequate to fund the FY02 budget. However, because of losses since then, the total net earnings reserve now have dwindled down to $221,500, and this was reported in the January statement, which is the most recent one. Our normal practice is to not draw on the endowment earnings until we absolutely need them, simply because we want them to stay in there and earn as much money as possible. However, as a result of the market downturn, the funding shortfall now is well over $200,000, which is about 10% of the division's budget. So the shortfalls are seriously going to hamper the mission of the division in terms of scheduled missions, trade shows, and we expect there might be layoffs if we can't get this. Anyway, that's all on that one.
Representative Davies.
Yeah. How big is the endowment?
The endowment has a principal of $4,950,000.
And how is it invested? Is it who is in charge of investing? Is it revenue or?
Through the chair, Representative Davies, it's invested by the permanent fund, and it's actually a subset of the ASTF endowment.
It's treated as a subset of ASTF monies, so it's part of that nominal $100 million.
Well, it's
or is it on
it's,
top of that.
It's on top of that.
And what is the earnings model of that? Is that just the actual dollar earnings, or do you do a percent of market value? How is that treated?
Through the chair, it's the same way. I think it's the same way as the permanent fund is done, and that is, there's the principal in the statute. We're supposed to actually count separately for the principal and for the net earnings reserve, and that's what's killing us,
right,
to be honest.
Mr. Chairman, I think the reason I asked that question, I think this is an example. We've got a number of these kinds of funds that we ought to think about switching over to think of them as endowments and treat them as the percent of market value, just for this very reason. This is the problem that you get run into if you don't do that.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So there's about almost $5 million in this account. And what has it typically earned on an annual basis?
Through the chair, Representative,
how long has it been in effect?
It was set up in 1997. And in our better years, it earned over $500,000 a year. And we were able to not spend all of the money, so the money that we didn't draw actually stayed in there. And because of the issue that actually was brought up by Representative Davies, our rainy day account, as we were kind of looking at it, we're being penalized by the accounting practice of the unrealized losses. And so, as I said, at the year-end statement showed a net earnings reserve of about $700,000. Now it's dwindled down to $221,000.
And finally, Mr. Chairman, the $230,000, if you didn't get this, what would not happen?
Well, we're really struggling with that at this point. We've there's a governor's trade mission that's leaving in a couple weeks, and we're so far into that, we can't really pull the plug on that. But we're going to have to seriously take a look at basically layoffs and shutting down some programs for the remainder of the year. That's what we're facing. Okay, the final thing that we have in front of you is Section 9, A, B, C, and D. And Bob Poe was unable to be here because of a longstanding obligation that he just was unable to get out of, but he is the PCE man. So I'm going to do my best to walk you through what's going on with these four items. The first item, Section 9A, has to do with an oversight that with all the eyes that worked on the budget and are involved in PCE, no one caught this until after the budget was passed and you had all gone home. But what in essence this one is that in SLA 2000, Chapter 60, there were various, that bill dealt with various energy programs and the sale of the Four Dam Pool. And what was set up is that on February 1st of each year, the revenue department is supposed to provide an estimate on 7% of the value of the PCE endowment. And that money is then supposed to be appropriated. That figure is supposed to be used to actually be appropriated into the PCE fund. We simply overlooked this item, and as a result, we need a supplemental to actually appropriate this $7,062,000 from the PCE endowment into the PCE fund. So that's what item 9A is. If I could jump to item 9D, just because that's another technical amendment. Item 9D is that due to the increase of fuel oil in FY01, we basically ran short of money for the PCE program. So in the month of June, the last month of the year, we had to prorate. However, we didn't estimate as closely as we wanted to. So we have, in essence, $56,751 of unpaid bills from unpaid grant obligations from FY01. And what we're asking is that we have, in our FY02 efforts, we have, at this point, prorated basically from the very first of the fiscal year, and the proration estimates include not spending roughly $56,700. And so what Section D1 and D2 does is roll back the FY02 PCE appropriation by $56,000. And so then that money is actually reappropriated in Section 2 to cover the cost of the FY01 unpaid grant obligations. So that's what item D is. Okay, and then item 9B and C, what's going on here is that because of the high cost of fuel that continues throughout the year, we have prorated since the start of the year. We've prorated PCE at 92% since since the first of the year. So for the past 7 months, it's been at 92%. For the month of February, we had to ratchet that down to 80%. And what this one is that we would like the opportunity to fully fund the program for the remainder of the year, and that would cost $1.1 million. So the Section 9B actually puts $1.1 million of general fund into the PCE fund, and Section 9C actually appropriates it to us for the program.
Tom, the fund was, if 9A were completed, having actually made the appropriation, which didn't happen last year.
Right.
If that were done, the program was funded to $15.7 million last year. So the interpretation of fully funding is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
I knew somebody was going to bite on that.
No, I'm going somewhere else.
Oh, okay, Representative Bundy. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fuel costs are always a problem, particularly with this program. And fuel costs in urban Alaska tend to go down in the last 6 months. And I know this isn't your program, but is there do you have a projection, an idea whether fuel costs will at least stabilize and possibly even and be reduced? I know diesel is different than gasoline. The quantity and competition and all are different situations. But what's your anticipation on fuel costs in the next fiscal year?
Through the chair, there's actually, I think there was a handout that you might have got. I hope you got it. I delivered it yesterday, but on the third page of the handout, there's a spreadsheet that shows, we estimate that that the total costs of the program for FY03 are estimated to be about $18,453,000. And that's not all due, that higher cost is not all due to higher fuel costs, but just inflation factor and growth, and very modest growth in the area. So I'm a little out of my league here, so I can ask the question and get back with you on that too.
Follow up for somebody?
Yeah, thank you. And then growth in the program, what percentage of growth are you projecting?
The latest estimate is about 4%.
Thank you.
Representative Davies, then Lancaster.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think, I mean, that is, the question is, what is fully funding? And does that, I mean, is that 15.7 number going to work forever? And, you know, does that really constitute fully funding when we all know that inflation and fuel costs and increased utilization are there? Not? I'd like to ask Ann Lee to comment on one of those questions.
We are doing so well on time, Representative Davies.
We'll get there. You wanted somebody to bite. You
know? I really didn't want anybody to bite. I just figured somebody was going.
You should keep your mouth shut.
I was just clarifying.
Sorry now. I'll try not to swallow all the time. How's that? Fighting.
Short answer.
Okay. The statute does on PCE does provide a formula by which we would calculate what is the amount the people are entitled to under that program. The statute does discuss that if the appropriation is not going to be sufficient for the amount that would be generated by that calculation, that we must prorate and lessen until we get a supplemental for it. So the statute obviously did recognize that it was possible to come back for a supplemental request for the program. But the issue of what is full funding, I think, has gotten tied in with the original endowment plan. And I know we have some differences of opinion about that, but when the original endowment plan was being put together, the projection at that time for what would be necessary to fully fund the new statute was $15.7 million. Now, it was a projection. I mean, nobody would know, obviously, until the new statute was implemented and see what would happen with that year, how much would actually be required. But that was the projection at that time.
For what year was that?
What year would that have been?
I think
FY00.
Yeah.
The increase in fuel prices happened subsequent to the PCE endowment plan being put together, and nobody could have, I mean, we of course always see fuel prices go up and down, but nobody projected, just like nobody thought we'd get such a boost to our CBR for a while. Nobody had any idea that oil prices would stay in the neighborhood. I mean, our actual average a couple years ago was $27.85 for the entire year. That was completely outside of any of our expectations. That was obviously good news to the state coffers in terms of the constitutional budget reserve, but it hit us very hard in some program areas, and this was one. I think there was a confusion about what and maybe people saw it differently as to what was the understanding at that time about the $15.7 million figure. In response to one of the earlier questions about fuel, one of the differences between what fuel costs in urban and rural Alaska is, in rural Alaska, the fuel deliveries are made, because most of them have to be made by barge, they're made in late summer, throughout the summer, but they finish before the ice comes in many communities. That means if fuel is still high in August, even though prices may drop at the pump in Anchorage, and we may, or Juneau or wherever, and we may see reductions even in what we pay in home heating fuel, we're not dealing with a bulk fuel tank that was filled in August. So we get the benefit of the changing prices in the urban markets that you don't see in the rural areas. So the PCE costs today are based on what fuel was going for in the summer, which was still at the higher prices. I think it's anybody's guess as to what will happen with the fuel prices when the next season's barge deliveries are made. But I hope that helps in terms of clarifying.
Thanks.
I mean, the other point about that I would make just about utilization and growth and so on is the utilization in rural Alaska is still significantly below the kilowatt hour utilization in urban areas. So while obviously any community that's growing is going to have an increased usage of fuel or utility costs, In fact, we still have a more conservative use of electricity in rural Alaska than we have in
Representative Lancaster.
Chance of burying myself, Mr. Chairman, thank you. But this conversation, you know, goes way back, and having represented the industry for a long time, and sometimes I'm not sure which I'm doing, but, you know, this relates to the Rail Belt Energy Fund and to one of those deals that was made years ago. And the deal was that the Bush, if you will, the PCE receivers, were going to get 15.7, even when the endowment was set up. That was the deal. And I've had this discussion this week, as recently as late last night, with the industry, and that's their expectation. I don't think they ever expected to get fuel cost increases. They expected to see a pro rata reduction, whatever the mechanism was, to keep it at 15.7. That should be the multiplier. Fuel prices go up, that's too bad. They get something less than that. The other thing is talking with Ada and Bob Poe and others, Mike Abbott, I think the state is not doing our job, and we've talked about it a lot, is, you know, we buy some 35 million plus gallons a year, and we should be telling Williams and Tesoro what we're paying for fuel instead of them telling us. And we need to take advantage of that situation, and we need to fix it sooner than later. We wouldn't have this problem.
You know, I agree with that recollection, Representative Lancaster. And I also give credit to Director Poe for taking the initiative when spend it to 15.7. He's done that and prorated, so he's lived by the spirit and intent of that legislation. If we were to choose to put more in, then certainly he would be directed to do otherwise. But like I said, it's, you know, full funding is in the eye of the beholder. Any further questions for Tom on Commerce? Is that it with yours, Tom? Eddie, I see you sitting in the back. I didn't see anything for Education on the fast track. Is there?
Here for the slow track.
Well, I think we're just going to attempt to get through the fast track today, and I appreciate members sticking it out. And we will be taking up the slow track at another time, but I knew there were going to be some references across to the slow track, so I apologize for any inconvenience you might have provided to some of the people who are here to testify. Any other items to come before the committee? We are going to be having budget subcommittee closeouts next week, Monday through Thursday. In recognition of that, Representative Williams, I believe we have a meeting scheduled for Monday to take action. It should be a short one, about a 10-minute meeting, I think, at 1:30. If members get here on time, we can move Representative Scalzi's bill out in pretty short order. I think we've corrected the questions. And then we can get back to trying to do budget subcommittee closeouts. Any questions or issues to come before the committee before we begin? Is that your intention also, or for next week?
Mr. Chairman, sometimes I think we not only need a fast track and a slow track, we need a half track, too. If you remember your World War II.
Yes. If nothing else, we are adjourned.